Hello everyone, so this is the first day of me doing podcasting off the top of my head regularly, and I'll have my Websters to help me. New tradition official starting right about now. So, I've been doing countless sex episodes, and for right now, this will be the way of me ceasing doing sex episodes. I'll be doing sex episodes in the future. It's not the very last sex episode I do, but this is me taking a break from sex. I don't know how long the break will be. I just need a break from doing episodes on sex, is what I mean to say. And that break will start after this episode, but let's get into it. So, I'm going to wrap up the autism mom part, then I'm going to get to the other parts of what happened to me section that need to be communicated. So, the autism moms, how did I meet them? Well, I would walk around, I would use public transportation, and often I would overhear women talking about autism and discussing their autistic daughters, their autistic sons, their autistic non-binary children, their autistic transgender children, and I would be nearby, and I would just jump in the conversation and say, oh, I have autism, because I felt that they're talking about my community, so I need to be vocal in that moment. And they gladly accepted my conversational input. So I remember we would sometimes take the train together, sometimes we take the bus together, mostly the bus together. Other times, they would be driving, and they were on their way to the parking lot. I would be nearby, and I would approach a group of autism moms and say, hey, I'm on the spectrum. And we would have a very lovely chit-chat about the beauty of the neurodiversity spectrum. And how remarkable neurodivergence is. And as they were nearing their cars, I remember attempting to say it was nice interacting with you all. I'm going to head on home, or I'm going to go out to eat somewhere else. But the autism mom said, no, you're getting in our car. We have a lot more to say to you, and you have a lot more to say to us. So I remember getting in their car. It was a group of autism moms. And as soon as I got in their car, by the time I got in their car, I knew that they were attracted to me. I didn't know how strong the attraction was. I just knew they were attracted to me. And it would happen when they would say, come on, you're getting off the bus with us. Or come on, you're getting off the train with us. You're going wherever we're going. You're going to be with us from now on. And that's what would happen. Like, if a group of them took a taxi or Uber or Lyft, I mean, they'll have me tag along, and they would sometimes, they would pay for me if we did the rider sharing services or taxi, what have you. I didn't ask them to, but they felt like, well, he's such a sparkling human, we don't see why not. That was their attitude at the time. And you know, if I use like a smart trip or just a bus in general, it could be Metro Smart Trip, or I remember taking like the city bus, you know, having my coins ready. Sometimes they would say, save your coins, we're going to use ours for you. So that's what happened. And it would be autism moms just hanging out. Just out and about being themselves. And they'll have me tag along everywhere they went. Like if they went shopping, I went with them. They went out to eat, they took me and financially took care of me while we're eating. Or if they're going to each other's homes, they'll have me tag along. So whenever they're out and about, it was heavy flirting. And I had a feeling that they were all gonna take turns sleeping with me before the day ended. My instincts have never lied to me. So, then, this is what truly happened. My instincts were confirmed, because when we were talking and joking and laughing, the jokes were always centered on my vivid intelligence, my luscious looks, my calm spoken demeanor, and my leadership capability. And so when they would first start talking to me, no matter where we were, it could be the riding sharing service, it could be a taxi, it could be a bus, it could be a train, Uber, Lyft, or in their cars. As soon as I would start talking, right away they would tell me how attracted they were to me. And I said, y'all gave it away before we got in this car or this bus or train. And they said, Antonio's a savant. He's got that savant syndrome, as a way of saying he has a colossal amount of brilliance about himself. That's what they said about me. So the autism mom said, when we first saw you, you became ours right away. Before he started talking, we knew, yeah, we claim him. He's not leaving from us. He's not departing our presence. Mm-mm. And the fact that you just jumped in the conversation, ooh, we like when a man has that alpha male side to him. You definitely have that. And I remember they were constantly checking me out, looking me up and down when we were in the car. When it was their cars, right? I remember they were, it could be autism moms in the back, like a van or something. I would be the only man in the vehicle. And I remember that they would crowd around me, especially in the back. Sometimes they had me in the back or the front, depending upon who wanted to flirt with me the most at the moment. In the back, it was just a group of women just constantly feeling on me and touching on me and like kissing on me, straddling me. And I remember running their fingers through my hair, whispering at me, lustful stares the whole time, licking their lips, biting their lips at me. Sometimes they would look at me and give me the finger motions just to say, come here. And they would lip sync, come here, in such a seductive way. So I would reach over and they would just pretty much grab me and have me like make out with them heavily, like one, like all of them. And I remember that there were times where they blowjobbed me, performed fellatio on me, gave me head, sucking off, and visibly I was enchanted of enchantment by what they were doing to me, orally speaking. Verbally, I communicated my pleasure, nonverbally communicated my pleasure. And it was all pleasurable to them too, because I wasn't hiding my being pleasured. And you would see the driver in the back, the driver in the front, looking through the rear view mirror or the mirror. When a driver looks straight, you see that mirror in the rear view, they could see what's happening in the back. And sometimes the driver would pull the car over when they were either close to their home or they would park in their garage, and the driver would jump in with the passenger in the front. All were women. Or I remember that they would be in a private location where people wouldn't be, and it would be an orgy in the van. They would clean up everything before we all left the van. We would all be undressed. We were in the van, but when we got the van, we were all fully dressed. And I remember that we would have more orgies in their home. The orgies in the garage too, the orgies we would all go in every room of their homes and have orgies in every room of their homes. I remember sometimes I would do the finger motion to come here, and they would just leap at me. And they would, every acting position you could think of would happen after that. And I remember when I would just leap towards them without them telling me to, they really liked that when I was springing to action. I performed cunnilingus and analingus on all of them, and they were verbally and non-verbally proud of me, that I can tell you. These are the kind of things that they wanted me to let y'all know. So I'm not sharing it to share it, but I'm just shedding light on even people with autism can have robust sexual sensations. Autism moms too. No children were around whenever our grown folk business happened. We were in our 20s when this happened. I was in my 20s when all this happened. I remember when I would, they would have me interact with their children. When we were around their children, it was very much G-rated in everything we thought, said, did, and felt. I would help the children with their homework. I remember helping them meet their IEP, BIP goals. Whatever the kids' weaknesses were, I knew how to turn them into strengths. Because I've been in that educational assessment plan for people with autism my whole life. So if they were struggling to be organized, I helped them to be nice and neat and organized. They're struggling with reading. I showed them how to go about reading comprehension and how to pay attention to most important details when you read. So their reading levels increased and they were better at organizing themselves because I was helping them. And I could help them with math. So what I did was I helped them follow the instructions that were written in like their math books, and I would go over with them. And I knew all their learning styles. And so the autism moms were impressed that I was an autism dad. I had autism, and I was being fatherly towards them. Hence the autism dad title for myself that they gave me. So when I was around their children, I was always high-fiving them, and I knew that whenever they finished their homework, that they would get a 100 on it because I worked with them that well. So if they had a hard time with literacy, I taught them how to read, how to write. And if they had a hard time with science, I showed them how to understand scientific terms and equations. if they had a hard time I think with social skills, I taught them how to do active listening, how to listen without interrupting, those kind of things. And I taught them how to control their emotions. Like, when you're upset, take a breather, count to 10, hand over your head, not over your knees when you're tired, and using I words for self-ownership language, and teaching them to remember all their options on how to best handle their emotions so they won't succumb to being tempted to lash out or explode. So the autism moms really liked that I was so awesome with their children. So they made me an honorary autism dad. And privately, when the kids were not nearby, not even within earshot, they could be at their the homes of relatives for the day. The autism moms would say to me, "My attraction to you was a 10. Now it's breaking the scales because you're so dynamic with my babies." They said, "Scratch that, our babies," and they said it so flirtatiously, so romantically, so sensually, so erotically, and so sexually too, which caused them to have more sex with me individually and collectively. And their kids were thriving in school, thriving in their social performance, thriving in their friendships. Because I helped the young people, the young autistic kids, on how to make friends. And the autism moms gave me more special attention as a result, meaning kissing me more, each of them spending alone time with me, and each of them spending group time with me more and more and more increasingly. I remember a few times where I would meet an autism mom and I would come to their homes, because when I would first meet them, they always invited them to their homes, even though I just first met them. And I went because I didn't get a vibe that they were stranger danger vibe. I didn't get that from, so I went. So they're at the table, they cook for me, clean for me, and talk to me about what it's like for me to have autism in general. So as I turned to leave and thanking them for such a productive dialogue on what makes autism so fabulous, they said to me, "I need you home tonight. I really need you not to leave out right now. And I remember looking back and saying to them, this time of day is usually when I rest. And I told that, you know, I said, I'll definitely return. You said I can always come here. And that's what I'm going to do. And I said, that I needed to recharge myself. And the mom was like, I don't want to be home alone anymore. And I really don't want to be home alone this evening. I could use a gentlemanly man to keep me full of true peace. And I remember looking back at them and I thanked them for all their compliments and I said, we both know I'm a person of my word. We both know I'm a truth teller. We both know I don't want to take from you. I want to give to you. And that's when they said, I'm going to take you to my bedroom. And you can give me what I need there. And that's when I opened my eyes because I figured out this particular autism mom was very much attractive. And she walked up to me, grabbed my hand, took to her bedroom because I remember she was like saying to me, that as soon as I met you, in her mind, if I can keep him in my home, I will. So let's just say afterwards it became regular for me not to really leave their homes like that. And when they would take me to the bedroom, adult sex would occur. With autism moms, I had the most pleasurable tantric sex, the most pleasurable heart-centered sex, the most pleasurable sacred sexuality type of sex, the most pleasurable twin flame sex, the most pleasurable kundalini, the most pleasurable tantra. The most pleasurable person-centered sex. And the most pleasurable healthy out of this galaxy, out of this cosmos, levitating type of sex. The most pleasurable one. Ones with autism moms. These became regular regularly habitual, that I can tell you. Sometimes when I first would meet some autism moms, they would jump my bones on the spot. No children around. No laws being broken. And that is how the sex would emerge itself. Now, I remember there were times where I was around so I also remember the times where these autism moms and I would even do walks in the park by ourselves, and that was something that was one of their favorite cathartic hobbies to do. And they would talk to me about the fact that they weren't sure about how to move forward in life when it came to the intersectionality of wickedness that occurred against them. For example, they said, "Antonio, normally I don't open myself up to any man. Not the ones in my family. I really don't have any men friends. And I'm very private when it comes to my men colleagues on the job." They said, "But Antonio, I feel compelled to open myself up to you. Because you're helping me heal from the misogyny I grew up with. And I appreciate that you've never referred to me as any misogynistic slur. You never physically abused me. You've never raised your voice at me. You've never treated me as a product to be sold at the mall. You never treated me as a food item or a drink item that's purchasable at a grocery store. You never paraded me. You never treated me as a shiny object. You've never constantly treat me as if I'm a supermodel walking the runway. You're not constantly treating me as a beauty pageant woman contestant. And they said, I appreciate the fact that intellectually you can keep up with me. I don't always have to do all the educating when I'm talking with you. You've educated me more than I have been educating you. And they said, I didn't think I would fall in love again. And they said, I never thought I would ever fall in love with a man. And I knew what they meant. They fell in love with me. And I said, well, I've always wanted an autism mom. That's my one and only. And I've always opened myself up for love with autism mom when I was talking about them. And I remember that they even said, Antonio, I would love to submit myself to you. And that had me in deep thought, because in my childhood, a woman submitting to a man was usually out of unrelenting chauvinism. So I had to explain, like, how would you define it? And they said, I would love for you to be the head of our home. And, you know, I would love for you to be the leader in the relationship. I would love for you to be the leader in our sex life. And I would love for you to be the leader of our family. And they said, I mean, you know, I want you to servant lead me and our family in every which way. And I knew what they meant non-abusively. You know, they said, I never thought I would feel these ways about a man. And they said, to be honest, I've always wanted an autism man all to myself. And sometimes we would even kiss while walking in the park and holding each other. You know, people weren't grossed out when it happened because it wasn't tasteless. It was just how typical. It was like It's like how couples are. That's how we were behaving a lot of times. And I just also remember them saying, I don't want to be an independent woman the rest of my life. That stunned me because I was like, you know, I want you to have your own life, your own things to do. And, you know, you're submitting to me doesn't mean you can't be your own person. And we don't always have to agree as long as it's on minor things. And I even said to them, you can love me and not want to do everything I want to do. And they said, I strongly agree with everything you said. At the same time, I recognize that it's okay for me to have a healthy need for a man. And they said that I cannot push you away because I've been independent for far too long. And I remember them saying to me that they were like, I'm not saying you lead because I can't lead, but when I meet the man of my calling, I prefer for him to make the decisions. They said, we both know I'm not dumb sheep. And we both know that I'm not gullible at the same time. I naturally prefer my alpha male chivalrous gentleman. He can treat a woman right, but I need him to be of gentle dominance at the same time. He said that works for me. And so I agreed to all these things with these autism moms because they all felt that way about me. They're like, they even told me, I love following your directions. I love taking orders from you. I love obeying you. I love you telling me what to do. They said, because we don't mind any of these things from a man who works hard for us. You work hard for us in when it comes to body, heart, mind, soul, memories, our emotions, your actions show it. So, I remember that, and with the autism moms too, I was always emotional when they would tell me these things that I cannot front. I was always emotional. And and they said that and they told me that what you overcame when you were a kid and what you have gone through, it's just, you know, it's really inspiring to me to know that I'm in love with a victor. There's nothing about you that says weakling. And what I would do is just, I would express verbal gratefulness to them, and I would compliment them sincerely. And that's pretty much how the conversations would go. These are my final memories of myself with autism moms. Now you fully understand why autism moms and I, older women and I, had the most enjoyable sex with each other. And now you understand why autism moms and I, and older women and I, had the most delightful romance with each other too.